From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. On today's show, we'll provide updates from the Nebraska Capitol and talk about what you need to know about two major bills seeking to ban late-term abortion and protect babies who survive an abortion that were voted on and ultimately blocked by Senate Democrats in the U.S. Senate this week. We'll share what happened on the Senate floor, as well as Nebraska's own Senator Ben Sasse's passionate floor speech that everyone should hear. We have now reached day 33 in the Nebraska legislature's 2020 session, in a 60 working day session, which means we're already halfway through. And committee hearings ended this past week, which now means state senators will begin having full day debate on senators' priority bills. There wasn't much to report from the Capitol this week in Lincoln, but there's plenty to talk about from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., where this past week, Senate Democrats blocked bills against late-term abortion and infanticide. On February 25th, the U.S. Senate voted on two common-sense pro-life bills. One was about ending abortion at the point where a preborn baby can feel pain, called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It was introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham, and notably, the United States is one of seven countries in the entire world that allows abortions after 20 weeks. Joining us on that list are countries like China and North Korea. The other bill, introduced by one of our own U.S. senators from Nebraska, Senator Ben Sasse, is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would protect babies born after a failed abortion. Both failed to pass. Sadly, you know, this result isn't surprising, but it is certainly deeply disappointing. And I think a lot of people are left wondering what's wrong with protecting babies born alive after an abortion, or making sure that innocent and defenseless preborn babies aren't feeling pain and being tortured to death during an abortion. Medical science has confirmed that unborn children in the womb can feel pain at 20 weeks. In fact, doctors now regularly do operations on children in the womb, and guess what? They give them anesthesia, but we still allow them to be aborted at 20 weeks. And in fact, new studies are actually pointing to the fact that the unborn child can feel pain earlier than 20 weeks. We talked about that on the show last week, about a major new report from the UK that came out recently that was co-authored by a self-described pro-choice researcher who has previously done work in support of Planned Parenthood that concluded the unborn can feel pain as early as 12 weeks. And this bill went nowhere. It was filibustered by every single Democrat in the United States Senate. And again, the second bill from Senator Sasse, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, would protect babies who are born alive in botched abortions, which is something, tragically, that happens every year in the United States. In fact, there was one report stating that 40 babies had survived an abortion and were most likely left to die after failed abortions since 2016. And despite many efforts, both in the U.S. House and Senate, the bill cannot gain enough support to pass, and that is an absolute travesty. Both of these bills, because they were filibustered, needed 60 votes in order to pass. The vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act was 56 in favor and 41 opposed. All of those 41 votes against the bill coming from Democrat senators. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act from Senator Graham failed on a vote of 53 in favor to 44 opposed. So both measures failed to get the necessary 3/5 majority to pass. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York denounced both bills as, quote, fake, dishonest, and extreme legislation that has nothing to do with improving the lives of ordinary Americans. I say fake because these bills pretend as if we don't already have laws on the book that protect infants. Additional legislation is completely unnecessary and irrational. And that statement just goes to point to how extreme the politics have become on this issue. Because here is a simple fact. Current federal law is not enough. Presently, if an abortionist or anyone else leaves a child to die after being born alive from a failed abortion, they are not guilty of anything. It is absolutely true that we do have laws, rightfully, that you cannot actively kill a newborn child. But if the baby is born as a result of a failed abortion and you do nothing, if you just leave it there, then you're not guilty of anything. Both of those things are true. You cannot actively kill a baby that survives an abortion, but you can also do nothing and just let it lie there on the table and let it die due to exposure. That's why Senator Sasse introduced this bill. That's why there was a hearing on it where we heard from medical professionals who testified to this fact, as well as abortion survivors. There are literally people in the United States alive today who survived an abortion. And in fact, we got to interview one of them on this very show. So we know that this is something that happens. In fact, in the United States, the CDC reports that from 2003 to 2014, at least 143 infants died after being born alive during an abortion procedure, and the report admits that this is certainly an underestimate due to lack of reporting. There are currently no federal abortion reporting requirements, which obviously leaves a massive gap in state reporting. And again, currently, there are no federal requirements for abortionists to provide medical care to infants who survive abortions, nor are there any criminal penalties for neglecting to give care to these babies. And all Senator Sasse's bill says is that when a child is born alive after a failed abortion, they have to be given immediate medical care and taken care of just like any other newborn. And that's being described as extreme and radical. So with this bill, the only issue at hand is creating protections for infants who survive abortion, not abortion rights or abortion access. This is about providing medical care to a child who has now become a patient. They are outside of the womb. This is a bill that is something everyone should be able to agree on and something that should have passed unanimously. Obviously, that was not the case. And we're going to get into why the bill failed and the many completely illogical and utterly indefensible arguments that were made against this bill by abortion supporters in the United States Senate. But first, this is Senator Sasse opening the bill and what he shared on the floor of the United States Senate at the beginning of the debate.
Every one of us, especially somebody running for the highest office in the land to uphold the laws, laws that promise to protect the right to life, should be able to say without any hesitation, leaving babies to die is unacceptable. This ain't hard stuff, people. There are actually some hard debates we have in this chamber. This isn't one of them. This is about babies that have been born alive and whether or not you can decide to kill them. There's really no debate to be had here, which is why so many people who were planning to speak on the other side decided not to speak this afternoon. Because you can't defend the morally reprehensible procedure that is backing away, that is passive infanticide. There are no exceptions. There are no special circumstances. We should protect every human being, no matter how small they are, no matter how weak they are. And if the Senate says that it's okay to ignore born alive babies, what we're really saying is we are okay with a society where some people count more than other people. We'd be saying that we want a society where some people can be pushed aside if other people decide those folks are inconvenient. A society where we can dispose of you if you happen to come in the world a certain way. It's unbelievably telling that Planned Parenthood, NARAL, which is the extremist abortion lobby, and their armies of lawyers and slick public relations teams and influence peddlers cannot draw this line. It's pretty amazing. This bill is not about abortion. Again, I want to be clear, we're voting on two things today. One of them is a piece of legislation about abortion. It's the Pain Capable Bill. Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is going to speak in favor of it in a minute, and I'm an original co-sponsor of his legislation. I support it, and I'm going to wholeheartedly vote for it. But the other piece of legislation we're going to vote on today isn't actually even about abortion. This should be a 100-0 no-brainer. This bill is not about Roe v. Wade. This bill will not change one word of abortion law in the United States. And my colleagues can vote up or down, but they can't pretend that they don't know the stakes of what we're talking about.
So that's what we're talking about with the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, providing medical care to infants who are born alive after surviving an abortion rather than just leaving them there to die. And the arguments that were presented in opposition to this bill were disgraceful and just bold-faced lies. First of all, there weren't many arguments that were made against the bill. Most of the senators who wound up voting no on this legislation simply disappeared from the chamber, didn't try and debate Senator Sass or anyone else. They just left, didn't say anything, and ultimately voted no. So the arguments against Senator Sass's bill that we did hear, firstly, they mostly try to argue that this simply doesn't happen. This is a solution in search of a problem. But as we talked about, we know that that just isn't true because there are literally people alive today who survived an abortion. Our own CDC reports that hundreds of babies have survived an abortion, and the numbers that we do know are likely much higher. We also know of stories like Kermit Gosnell, which if you don't know who that is, you should Google Kermit Gosnell. He was an abortionist in Philadelphia who murdered seven babies that were born alive after surviving an abortion. And that was just in one clinic in Philadelphia. So we have not only anecdotal evidence, but also reported evidence that infants do in fact survive late-term abortion procedures. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want anyone to know that this happens, that babies actually can and do survive late-term abortion attempts. So the most common argument that we hear against this bill was then when they had to pivot to the assertion that laws already exist to prevent infanticide, and this bill doesn't do anything or it's already illegal. And again, currently, there is no federal law requiring doctors to provide care to infants who survive abortions. Yes, it is true. You cannot actively kill a baby who survives an abortion and is born alive. And in fact, ironically, Senator Durbin from Illinois was the one leading the opposition to the bill. And his big point that he made on the floor was that we know that this is already a crime and we don't need this bill because of Kermit Gosnell, who was charged and is currently in prison serving a life sentence. But he was charged with murdering the babies who were born alive after surviving an abortion. He snipped their spinal cords after these babies were born after a failed abortion. He murdered them actively. If he would have done nothing, they would have just left the babies there in the room by themselves and did nothing and let the child die due to exposure or lack of care, he wouldn't have been guilty of anything. So the very case that they point to try and prove that this law isn't needed, points to the fact that it is needed. And so as a latch-ditch ploy, the only thing that's left to say from both Democratic lawmakers who voted against the bill in the ways reported in the media is to refer to the legislation as anti-abortion and to talk in really broad terms about abortion and to use euphemisms and word games when talking about the bill, when in fact the bill has literally nothing to do with abortion. It doesn't regulate when or whether healthcare providers or abortion, when it's available to women or how it can be performed. It merely requires that doctors treat newborns who survive abortion the way they would treat any other newborn infant. So that was their really only hope. They just frame it as anti-abortion, and they support abortion and a woman's right to choose, and therefore they have to vote against this bill. But we also saw something new during the discussion about this bill when CNN described the bill as requiring care for a fetus who was born, which another way of describing a fetus that is born would be a baby or a child. But, they're never going to refer to a fetus or an unborn child as a child or a baby when it's in the womb. But now, even when it's born, if it's born as a result of a failed abortion and it's alive and outside the mother, apparently it's still just a fetus that was born, not a baby. So CNN couldn't even accurately or truthfully report what the bill is about. And that is incredibly telling. And so after hearing these just completely ridiculous arguments that hold no weight, Senator Sasse let loose. I've heard him speak passionately many times, especially about this issue, but I've never heard him speak quite like this. And so we're going to play the clip of Senator Sasse, his response to Senator Durbin after listening to his arguments for why he and his colleagues couldn't support this bill. Listen to this.
Your grand point about wishing we were debating, we're aligned. But I do want to say one more thing before I object, which is you said you're not questioning my sincerity. I appreciate that. You asked that I would not be questioning your sincerity. I'm not. But I am questioning your logic, because you summarized it as if there are two issues at play. And you said anti-abortion legislation and maternal health funding. There are three issues at play on the floor today. One of them is Lindsey Graham's Pain Capable Bill, which is a pro-life piece of legislation. One of them is Senator Durbin's funding requests about maternal delivery health. Those things are true, but there is a third thing, which yet again you obscured by saying the debate here is funding maternal health or having anti-abortion legislation. The piece of legislation we're voting on today, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, is not about abortion. I am pro-life. I'm going to support Lindsey Graham's bill, but the bill we're voting on doesn't change anyone's access to abortion. It doesn't have anything to do with Roe v. Wade. It is about babies that are already born. CNN said this morning on TV, they made up this insane phrase. They said a fetus that has been born. The heck is that? It's another way of saying they don't want to debate the actual debate we're having on the floor today. The debate we're having, we're going to vote once on Lindsey Graham's pro-life legislation. I'm going to support it. But we're also going to vote on a piece of legislation that is about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. These are about babies that are born that are outside their mother. And what's actually happening is the senior senator from Illinois is wanting to obscure the debate because he wants to use euphemisms about choice so that you don't have to admit to the American public that what's actually happening in the floor today is probably that, like last year, 44 Democrats are going to filibuster an anti-infanticide bill. There's nothing in the bill that's about abortion. Nothing. It's about infanticide. That's the actual legislation. And you got 44 people over there who want to hide from it and talk in euphemisms about abortion because they don't want to defend the indefensible, because you can't defend the indefensible. We're talking about killing babies that are born. That's the actual legislation we're voting on today in the Senate. That's what the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act is. Is it okay in the eyes of the United States Senate for us to say, well, you can't actively kill the little baby? You can't take a pillow and put it over her face and smother her to death, but you can back away and kill her that way. That's what Ralph Northam, the disgraced governor of Virginia, was talking about when he said, well, once the baby's born, if she survives an abortion and we wish that hadn't happened, then we'll figure out a way to keep her calm for a little while the doctors debate what they want to do. What he means is kill the baby. That's the legislation we're voting on today. There are three buckets. Lindsey Graham's Born Pain Capable Act, that's a bill about abortion. There's another bill that is about babies that have already been born. Newsflash, CNN, If you're a baby and you've been born and you're outside of mama, nobody calls that a fetus. You just want to call it a fetus because you don't want to cover the actual story that's being voted on in the U.S. Senate today. Then there's a third piece of legislation, which is Senator Durbin's counterproposal today about maternal preventable deaths and investment in that case, that category. I'm interested in that category as well, but you don't actually want to talk about the legislation that's on the floor, so you're changing the subject. Therefore, I object.
I sincerely hope that people remember this debate and this vote and what happened in the United States Senate. That's what matters here. Anyone who deems the Born Alive bill as anti-abortion either hasn't read the bill, is willfully misrepresenting what it says, or sincerely believes that the right to abortion encompasses the right to deny medical care to a newborn infant, not a fetus who was born, a baby who was targeted for abortion and survived and was born alive. And Senator Sasse did a masterful job of completely dismantling all of the misleading and strawman arguments that were presented. And so it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that this bill was blocked and that it didn't pass. But we know this isn't the end. And we believe firmly that this legislation, it is common sense and it will become law if we don't give up, if we don't grow weary of doing good. And in the meantime, this was important because it was successful in exposing the completely illogical and dehumanizing rationale at the heart of the argument for abortion. If a pro-choice lawmaker supports this bill as decency and common sense demands, they risk exposing the arbitrary nature of denying rights to a human being inside their mother and granting the child rights the instant after birth. And that's why they can't vote for this bill. They can't vote for it. But I believe the conversation that was had is important. And we are continuing to see the pro-life movement advance and grow across this country. We know that people's hearts and minds are changing. And as science and medicine and technology continue to advance, we're able to see and know what we all, I think, inherently already know about unborn human life, that it is in fact a baby, and that babies deserve love and compassion and not to be just left to die after surviving an abortion. So while the other side continues to hide behind euphemisms and blatantly false talking points, we can rely on truth and on science and speak the truth in love. There is much work still to be done, but that's what we're committed to at Nebraska Family Alliance, ensuring that every life is cherished and protected. And that's why we're supporting LB 814 in the Nebraska legislature, which would prohibit the practice of dismembering a living preborn baby. We have an action alert right now on our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We need the Judiciary Committee to advance this bill so that it can have the opportunity to be debated and voted on by the full legislature and pass into law this year, because no living human being, and certainly not defenseless, innocent babies, should be torn apart limb by limb. This is our top priority during this year's legislative session. So again, we want to encourage everyone to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org so you can learn more about this bill and how you can contact senators, your representatives, and urge them to vote yes on LB 814. We'll be back next week with more updates and information on the most important issues affecting family, freedom, and life. Until then, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.